This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora e homa, nō mai, haere mai, ko Hannah Tokuingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. You're already laughing. Megan Goldsman, special guest. Now, I know I say this often, and I love my guests, all my guests equally, but in case you can't already tell, I'm welcoming an old friend back to That's The Ticket.
Love some more than others.
Yeah. No, local legend, national treasure, award-winning screenwriter, and my best mate, Megan Goldsman, is here. Kia ora, welcome back.
Kia ora, mate. Oh, I'm so stoked.
I know, it's like I started talking and out of the corner of my eye, I could just like see Megan cracking up.
I was just beaming the whole time.
Oh, it's great to have you back. I should have done some research, but because the show is like 1,000 years old now, I'm like, when was the last time you were here?
Just
it's been
like
years.
Us. I know, I was actually trying to think of that.
I think it was lockdown. I feel like it was 2020.
Was it? But we were in the studio.
Oh, there must be 2021, maybe.
Maybe. Do you know what? I honestly cannot remember.
I feel like it was when you were still at TAP.
I know, which is 2020. And then part of me goes, well, I don't know. When did you start the podcast?
Not 5 years ago.
Okay, so
2020.
It must have been 2020 then, because I was like, was it before I went? Could have been, but yeah. I don't know.
Oh, well, welcome back.
Thanks, mate. It's such a pleasure.
I mean, you've been busy. You've been getting a lot of stuff done in your absence.
5 years.
I know. Stuff has changed. Stuff has changed with you since you were here on That's The Ticket.
I know. And crazy, eh?
Like, I mean, I already dropped it in my intro, but you are an award-winning screenwriter.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That's me.
I stuttered because it just is wild.
I started thinking about it. I'm like, is that a thing? I mean,
yeah.
I'm trying to not be so modest about it, right?
Yeah,
it's
such
a Kiwi thing.
It's your job here on That's The Ticket to actually talk about things
about
that you've done.
I've done, yeah.
But we can wind it back.
Beautiful.
We can talk about Bodies of Water, which is the name of the film, right?
It is.
And there was a bit of a
you've
journey.
Done your research.
I mean, I have. I looked at your actors page. I looked at all your credentials. It's quite impressive, Megan Goldsman, if I'm being honest. I was kind of surprised. I'm like, crikey.
What? I don't even know what's on there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That's not good. You should always keep those pages updated.
Yeah, you should go back and check.
I should see what's on there.
You should. I enjoyed myself.
I'm glad.
But Bodies of Water. So
yes.
This film had a bit of a journey.
Oh my goodness, yes it did.
So I guess, like, there's the film, there's the fundraising, there's your multiple roles within the project.
The Beast.
And then, of course, the Missy Flicks Best Screenplay win.
The Missy Flicks?
Misty
Flicks. I wish it was Missy Flicks.
Kia ora, Dr. Mooney.
Missy Flicks, we love.
We'll start. Tell me about the film, and then we can get into the, like, how.
The nitty gritty.
Yeah, how we got it.
Yeah.
I was about to say on stage,
how it happened, how it came to live. Yes, it is a beast to think about.
Yeah.
So, gosh, I did first write it back during the lockdown, the Auckland lockdown. So that was 2021. When would that have been? Like, maybe, oh God, I can't remember, like September, October, around then. Obviously lockdown was pretty intense for a lot of people.
Yes, it was.
Especially for me, there was a lot of stuff going on at home. I lost my nana in that period. Just remember feeling very kind of alone and isolated. I used to take these big long walks along the beach because luckily where I lived was very close to the ocean, and it was still during that time where certain rules were in place. We couldn't actually go swimming, but you could be on the beach. You could be out and about, just not within 2 meters of other people.
Yeah.
Lots of rules. Lots of long walks by myself, basically. And it was very reflective. I was really reflecting on, at that point, I guess, the role of the ocean and how, for me personally, I've always found water to be really calming. Space I've always been drawn to ocean, to the pool. I used to swim.
Yeah, you did.
My little competitive swimming background. As relaxing as
that was on your actors page.
What?
That you can swim.
I can swim.
And roller skate. And rollerblade.
And rollerblade. Yeah. And as Hannah knows, although I don't know if I've ever done any rollerblading on stage myself.
Not yet. Not with that attitude.
I'm trying to think. As of yet.
Have you done any swimming on stage?
On stage? Constantly.
Swimming in the film,
endlessly.
Surely.
Do you know what? We didn't. Because that, I will get onto that.
Yeah,
Health and safety, basically.
Yeah.
Was reflecting and just started writing. Really, I was writing from a place of feeling quite isolated. And so the first draft that came out was this very dark story.
Yeah.
Battling all of those feelings.
Mm.
And then we obviously came out of lockdown
and
into an industry that was struggling.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I don't know if you mentioned, but I'm an actor.
Yes, yes.
Trained actor, but not a trained writer. So writing is not where I thought I would go, basically.
Yeah.
But I came into an industry that had a lot of actors and not a lot of work.
Mm.
Struggling industry, and then also we here in New Zealand were impacted by the strikes happening in America.
Yes, you were.
Yep. So there was a lot of that stuff going on, which in some ways is a perfect breeding ground for a personal project.
Yeah, it's a great origin story so far,
isn't it? Yes, isn't it?
And so, okay, I assume the second draft was born.
Yeah. So, well, the second draft was born because a funding opportunity came up.
Mm.
So at the time there was an organisation called Someday Stories, which is now Day One.
Yes.
It's a great organisation and they do amazing things for young creatives in Aotearoa.
Mm.
I had a friend, Shelley Wardams, who is the director of Bodies of Water.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yes, and she had a short film made by Someday Stories called Hand in Hand. Amazing short film, actually. Everyone should check it out if you've got an opportunity.
Mm.
Incredible story about her mum's experience as a young deaf child in Aotearoa in the 1970s when it was illegal to sign in school.
Okay. Already have a lot of questions.
Incredible.
But I'll save that for when Shelley's on the show.
Yeah, you should get Shelley on the show. She'd be amazing to talk to. But all that to say is there was a funding opportunity that came up and I was pushed very strongly into it by a friend of mine. And we ended up getting shortlisted, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
And through that stage, the redrafts happened.
Mm.
And it got to a state where I would say it's pretty similar to what we ended up with on the page.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we didn't get the funding.
Mm.
But by then, I was pretty committed to it.
Yeah, we were invested.
Yeah, I was invested.
Yeah.
I'd put so much time into it. I was like, okay, well, even though we haven't got the funding, I could wait and try again, or I can just make it.
Mm.
Which is a really easy thing to say. And then the reality sets in.
Yeah.
But it's better not to know sometimes before you start, I think.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I feel like I've had a few creatives on That's the Ticket with a similar attitude who have gone on to do great things.
Yeah.
Just like you.
Just like me. No, but I do actually think that is sometimes the best way to do it. I mean, I'm a classic for overthinking.
Yeah.
So if I get too bogged down by the kind of, I don't know, what could be, I will just not get anything done.
I call it the stuff it zone.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, stuff it, I'm rolling with it, it's happening.
That's
and,
great.
You guys did do a successful Boosted campaign, right?
We did. Mm. So at this stage now, I had my friend Shelley on board to direct it. I always knew I wanted her to direct. We had a brilliant DOP, Isaac Newcomb, who's actually done a heap of stuff. So he recently did a TVNZ vertical series called The Sender.
Oh,
which
you will
be able to watch on, I think it's on Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
And potentially on.
I feel like it was on TVNZ Plus, but a friend of the show and family member of me, Jordan Mooney, was in that.
He played
Jesus.
God? Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus
yes.
Christ the Redeemer himself.
And that was directed by
Liv McClyman.
I'm like, I know Liv, but I'm like, what's her last name?
Beautiful Liv. Who I've also worked with.
Yes, great director. Great filmmaker, actually.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. We love our young female filmmakers.
Yeah, 100%.
Beautiful.
Yes, you were in her short film, weren't you?
Yeah, tiny little part, but that was also an amazing, amazing project. I mean, that's a whole.
Another story. Anyway, let's keep going on bodies of water.
Let's get through it. Get to the point. Get to the film. We did a boosted campaign, and we were. I hadn't personally done a boosted campaign before, but I've sort of been boosted adjacent.
Yeah.
As you know,
yes,
you're very familiar with All Boosted.
Oh, I've done many.
Yeah. It's there's a kind of I like to say there's like a campaign before the campaign.
Oh, 100%.
You have the game plan down before you begin. And so I came in with this whole kind of plan for our boosted.
Yeah.
And then I find it wild that kind of went out the window because I don't know for love or money why, but we hit the ground running with it really hard. And we ended up making our total within, I think, a week or a week and
then
a half.
You extended it, right?
We did, yeah.
So, and you hit that?
Yeah, we did. So Boosted has a great little, what do you call it? Like, I guess, a addition where you can, if you hit your target, put a bit more money into it, basically.
And the kicker is with Boosted is you set a target, and if you make it, you get to keep it.
Yeah.
If you don't, you have to give all the money
all back.
And that's the same if you extend the target. And
exactly.
So there's a bit of pressure there, but I think that's kind of what makes the model work.
It makes
it
work.
Because an added level of pressure.
Yeah.
And you're like, guys, if we don't get support,
then
all
nothing.
Of it's gone. Yeah.
And people want to support.
Yeah.
That's, again, if you play it right, that's where you lead to is people want to see you succeed. So if you're at that final stage and you've just got a little bit more to go, then that can be the push that it really needs sometimes. Whereas, you know, other platforms that sort of can drift and die.
Mm. I mean, that's what we love to see, a bit of drama when it comes to fundraising for art, for the arts.
Well, I was expecting full drama and we were kind of overwhelmed with the support, which is, it's actually quite an emotional thing as well.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I remember being very, very moved. But all of that to say is we did our boosted, we went into pre-production. The whole film was set on a beach. That's a whole other story about location drama and getting permits and health and safety.
Yeah.
Especially because we had a young child involved for some
of
the
scenes.
So that's very, very important that everything is very well documented and taken care of and all procedures are followed and that everything is safe at all times for everyone.
Well, and I mean, this makes sense because, I mean, I know it's different, but it kind of just fits the whole brand, the Megan Goldsman brand, but you're very heavily involved with Actors Equity as well.
Yeah.
And so, if anyone's going to do it...
anyone's going to be a hard-on procedure, it's me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's great because, you know, I feel like we're in New Zealand and we've got this whole can-do attitude. Oh, yeah, we'll just grab a camera and just get out there. And there's an array of things that could go wrong.
For sure.
And so it's really good you know, you're out there fighting the hard fight.
I mean, it's true and I don't get it right all the time, but I think as young creatives especially, and especially young actors, they'll often feel that you have to be so grateful for being given an opportunity or you just have to kind of bear with and deal with things and take it as it comes. But, I mean, I definitely felt like that when I was younger.
Yeah.
And so I guess for me now, knowing the industry and the world a little bit more, it's like, well, it is our job to fight, I guess, for changes or to speak up.
100%.
Yeah. You've got to, I don't know, bring the voice forward if you can, so...
And
that was important to me.
Back to the film.
Yes.
So how long did it actually take to build this bad boy?
To build it?
Make the film.
Okay, so, I mean, forgetting the 2 years that had happened before we actually got the funding, once we decided to go for funding, Boosted, we knew that we were going to film it in May of that year. So this is last year, 2024.
Last year was
2025. Gosh. Oh, my God. Last year was 2025. Okay, in 2024, we knew we were going to film it in May. So I think we might have started the campaign in March.
Yeah.
If that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
8 weeks?
Yeah, that's quite fast.
It was quick. But to say that, we had done a lot of the pre-work beforehand. Like, the script was in a good place. We'd started rehearsals. Michelle Luthart, who played my mum in the film, amazing actress. She's truly a phenomenon. She, Shelley, and I had been doing a lot of kind of script work and relationship building, which I love. That's all the delicious actor stuff. And that had been going on before we got into even the pre-production of locations and the nitty-gritty and all that. So by the time we got to actually being on set, we were ready.
Yeah.
We were kind of primed, ready to go. And that's a bit of a luxury, honestly. You don't get that a lot of the time. Or in my experience, I've found that with a lot of bigger sets that are already in motion, you're often just, you're there on the day. You've got like, you might be lucky if you get one rehearsal.
Yeah.
But really, it's kind of like, okay, we go. And then we wrap and we get out as quick as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And I guess, yeah, so you filmed it in May 2025.
Yep.
And then
2024.
Oh, 2024. Oh, gosh, I'm doing it to myself.
It's okay, mate.
And then
we're clinging on here.
Yeah, filming, wrapped, editing, that sort of stuff.
And again, because we were very low budget, we raised this money, but post-production is expensive.
Yeah.
We were trying to do things. Big Boris Steele asked for favours all over the place. The edit process probably took about 9 months.
Yeah.
It was a long edit, just because you're grabbing people's time where you can.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of ADR to do, which is always tricky.
Please explain ADR for everyone.
Oh, my God, I'm going to get the acronym wrong, but it's where you re-record dialogue.
Oh, yes.
So because we filmed on a beach, there's a lot of wind that comes into
mics. And you filmed on a beach in May, which is winter in Aotearoa.
It is. And you know what? We got the, like, one sunny weekend
the
whole month. Great. It was rain. And then we had this solidly sunny weekend, which was great for continuity.
Yeah.
Because it didn't look like 2 days.
No.
Which was amazing because it's all supposed to be in one moment.
Mm.
So we had a little bit of ADR to do, and then the colour grade, the edit, and then I think it was pretty much a year to the day of filming that we had our little Friends and Whānau screening. Yep. So that was when we fully locked the picture, completed it, and then sent it out into the festival circuit, where it is still tracking its way across the globe.
Great. And then fast forwarded to Misty Flix, which I fixate on that, A, because you won, and B, because it's like local the Beyond section of That's the Ticket, because it was in TA, right?
Taumutu, at the Regent's Theatre, which was the first ever movie theatre I went to.
Yeah.
And gutting that I couldn't actually be there.
No, because you were overseas. London.
But, it had its premiere, which, again, I felt quite emotional about. I think just it being in the Waikato and, you know, having such strong ties to the region. And my mum actually got to go and watch.
That is so great. Yeah, I'm so glad.
Kind of amazing and a bit daunting to hear, but a wonderful thing that she kind of felt, I guess, proud of it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she accept the award for you?
I wish she did. I don't know actually what happened there. I just got a message from our producer saying, basically forwarding on the email and saying it won Best Screenplay. So it didn't win Best Film, but it won Best Screenplay somehow, which is kind of wild.
Baby's first screenplay is a winner.
Baby's first ever screenplay, because I have written a short film that has been produced before this one, but this was the first script I'd ever written. So it's the older film. It won, and I was in London, so I found out at, I don't know, 1 a.m. And then it felt kind of unreal. You're sort of seeing it have this life online, but not being a part of it.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I guess last cheeky question, obviously you say that it's still in the festival circuit.
It is.
Is there any way we can watch it in New Zealand?
Oh my gosh, I wish. There will be one day.
Okay.
Misty Flix was its premiere. I'm trying to think if there's, I don't know if it's up for any more New Zealand festivals. It might be. I'll have to investigate, but there's probably I would say there's probably 9 months left of it. Hopefully going to have some premieres in the UK, in Australia, and throughout the world would be lovely, but we'll just see what comes.
Because I got to ask, because as I said at the top of the show, like, Megan's my best mate and I haven't seen the film.
I can't believe it. Well,
it was the weekend I was moving.
There'll be a friends and family screening available for you, Hannah.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure of that. But when it is widely available, I will absolutely be sharing it everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, my other short film is available to watch on YouTube. So you can always check out Bad Bagels if you feel
bit
of comedy fun.
We can touch on that next.
Yeah.
I do want to break for a song, if that's okay with you. It's one of yours.
My song.
Just because, you know, we can yap and we got to get our songwrites in.
We'll yap so hard. Which song?
Okay, so you sent this in. It's called Masquerade.
Yes.
Stereophonic.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Oh, my God. Well, I was prompted by you with your questions of London, which we haven't got to yet. But
we might not even get there
we
at
might
this
not
rate.
Get there.
We'll
so
see.
I'll say this. I saw a great show in the UK called Stereophonic. I believe it was originally on Broadway. I think it won Tony for Best Play in 2024, 2025.
Right.
And you would love it. It's kind of it follows a band in the 1970s over the year of them making this album.
Oh, I
very
remember
Fleetwood Mac.
You and I talked about this.
It's incredible. It's kind of more like a documentary, but happening live on stage anyway. So this is a song from that.
Okay. You heard it here first, but we'll be right on back.
Honestly, I just said this to Hannah, but you need to listen to the full album because it is magic.
Yeah, so that was the original cast of Stereophonic, new to me musical.
Yeah.
New-ish.
It's weird because And I think technically not a musical, even though there is music all the way through it.
A play with songs, would we say?
Exactly.
I love that. People describe Blood Brothers as that, a play with songs, and I'm a sucker for Blood Brothers.
Willie Russell.
Oh, don't get me started.
Don't get me started. You know, I did my year 13, I had to do like a end of year essay, and I did it around the playwriting works of Willie Russell.
Really?
Yeah. So I covered, I think, Stags and Hens, Educating Reader, Blood Brothers, and I can't remember the other one now.
I mean, the fact that you can remember year 13, because you and I are getting on
barely,
a bit, mate.
Barely. Honestly, day by day, I lose a bit more.
I do just want to acknowledge to the audience that before we, you know, started the show today, Megan and I realised that 2026 is our friendship anniversary. Yeah.
And it must be like roughly around this time.
It was
as
like
well.
February, March,
surely.
I think.
Because Ham Gardens.
Yeah. It was probably Jan, Feb, March.
Festival.
Yeah. Because we met because we were both in the show.
Rehearsing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can't remember much. Didn't you play the mayor of Hamilton?
No, that was Missy.
Oh, okay.
I was the mayor's assistant.
That's right. I was
flower seller
number one.
You had a beautiful flower crown as well.
I think I've played flower seller a few times in various things.
I mean, you've got that vibe.
My first role, maybe?
And now we've gone from flower seller to filmmaker. Well, because
that
you know,
is the trajectory.
Yeah.
I mean, so everyone's aware.
Yeah. Step one, sell some flowers. Step two, write a screenplay, fundraise for it, make the film, win a Misty Flicks Best Screenplay Award. Yeah. And then, here's the thing is Bodies of Water, not your first time working in film.
No, technically
so
not.
You were talking about, oh gosh, Bad Bagels, yes.
Yeah, which is also technically not my first short, but it was my first short film as, I would say, like in more of a creator role.
Yeah.
It's weird because I'm like, I don't even know what to describe it. Like technically in Bodies of Water, I'm down as a writer and an actor.
Yeah.
But it goes deeper than that when you're involved in your own project.
Yeah.
And Bad Bagels is the same. Like I wrote it with my mate Vena because we wanted to play. Like basically we were two unemployed actors who wanted to have some fun. And we wrote this silly little short.
Mm.
We thought it was more like a skit. We showed it to our mate who was looking to direct something. And, well, he had the vision of turning it into what it became. And I guess between the three of us, we pulled a team together and made a little short film.
And Bad Bagels is on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. I believe you can watch it via Film Shortage. I'm sure that there'll be links somewhere.
And this one came out in 2025?
Yes, I think we did release it in 2025. It's funny because, again, we filmed it, I think, in 2023.
Yeah.
But things have a life of their own and they take their time.
And then, again, because I mentioned I stalked your actors page. If you have the time, guys. But you've got some feature films as well.
Oh,
Do you want to talk about
one?
That?
I think I've got one. Is it just the one?
I think there were two, but you know the one I want to talk about.
The Canyon?
Yeah.
I don't know how much I can actually say, but we can chat because it's been a long time.
Yeah.
This is the reality, I think, of working, I guess, not just as an actor, but in film in general in New Zealand. So I booked that film in 2023. It is my first commercial feature, for sure. And I think it was my second commercial job. Like, I think I'd done Shorty that year earlier and then went on to this, basically. So it's still in post. So, again, it's like I don't even know truly. But truly, like, I don't even know what it will look like, how much of me will end up in it. I do remember reading the script, and she is a character where I read it, and I was like, ah, great, you kind of can't cut her out completely.
Yeah.
She's integral enough to the script that it's like, okay, something's going to survive.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's barely more than a couple of days.
In Aotearoa?
It filmed in Aotearoa, even though it's set technically in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
So
the magic of film, guys.
Magic of film. They filmed it out at Kumu Studios, although my scenes were some of the only ones that weren't shot in studio. I mean, most of the film follows one actor, and I don't think we can name them because I don't think that that's public yet.
Yeah, good on you.
But all these scenes that I was in are basically kind of flashback scenes. And ours were filmed on location. And, I mean, one location we filmed out by a waterfall, literally.
Great. It's a bit of a recurring film with you,
Water. I know, and I'm writing another thing at the moment.
Oh, okay.
The water is present again, so I'm like, oh my God, am I going to have my my trio of water films.
Yeah. Okay, so is the thing you're running at the moment screenplay?
It is. It's another short.
Okay.
It's another short. It's
How
another
good. Short. We yeah. love that.
We do.
And, I mean, this is cheeky, but I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah. But now, because you've Crack acted on. In both feature film and short film.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite?
It's such a tricky question. It's funny, I was, again, reflecting on this. I adore acting and theatre as well.
Mm.
In a strange way, they're all just three forms of the same thing,
yeah.
which is, you know, communicating and telling a story.
Yeah.
And I love different things about each. Like, there's something about theatre that is really an actor's game, where you are live in the moment, having an experience not only with the other actors, but with your audience. Like, that feedback is happening immediately, and there's something magic, I guess, ephemeral about that, because I know
no,
it's so geeky, right?
But
it's true.
I'm also laughing because it asked you to pick between and short film and feature film, and you started like, talking theater, about theatre. No, it's all good.
But of all that to say that I think, really, when it comes down to short film and feature film, the only thing that is different, at least as an actor, is time and money.
but
of which is not a lot for either. But the experience of shooting a film is kind of the same. It's just whether it lasts for 10 minutes or 90. That's the real difference.
And then because you've made short films, you've been on the other side.
Yeah.
Which are you going to pick? Would you rather be in it or?
Oh my God. Again, it depends. No, in it. only because, well, it's so hard to say. To be fair, if it's something that I have made, I don't think I can ever just be in it. I think.
Yeah.
There's always part of me that is going to want to be...
You're a sucker for punishment,
involved.
Mate.
Involved, I know, but it's like it is your baby in some way of like...
Yeah.
Even if you... Because I'm, again, about to go into production on another short that I've written, and
right.
I am on it as a writer and an actor, and I guess a little bit of baby producing too.
Mm.
But I'm kind of hands-off when it gets to shooting, apart from acting, you know? Like, I try to focus on the character and serving the story, which is a really lovely place to be when you're in production, because you can kind of put your mind out. You only have to focus on one job.
Yeah.
I love that. I love to be able to give myself entirely to the role, which, yeah. When you're involved in everything else around that as well, it's hard to do.
Mm.
It's just more stress, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, you work well under stress.
Right. Got to cram in.
I just remember.
Those all-nighters.
Yeah. Oh, man. Megan and I, as we've mentioned, have known each other for a decade.
Too long.
which included some time at university.
University.
And, oh, my goodness, I remember really some of the stuff you did at uni, bro.
So good. I'm really onto it. But
yeah.
I think, unfortunately, I think for myself, because it is stressful, I'm like, what would you say, like a... procrastination paralysis.
Yeah.
Of leave it to the last minute until there's no more last minutes and then rush to get it done.
Yeah, but then you just
Brain
make
fires.
Great things happen.
I think I've come to this in myself of, even if I'm not conscious of it, I'm probably like cooking it.
Yeah.
Like, and I know I am. Like,
I'm
aware of things, even now with what I'm writing at the moment. Like, I'm aware of things happening that are kind of filtering in and then... Unfortunately, with my personality, I do just leave it to the last minute to actually get it on a page.
Yeah.
Which I wish I didn't do, but I think I've come to accept that at age 30, it's probably not going to change.
Oh, age 30. Jinkies. Okay. Well, I've got some more questions to ask you, but I've got to take another song break.
Yeah.
Because I've got an important segment to fit in. You may remember this. It's time for Rick's Pick. Do you remember
Rick's
this?
Rick's Pick?
Yes.
Oh,
so,
I got a stoke.
Yeah. It's. I mean, this is the thing. I have my guests bring songs in for me. I have Uncle Rick pick songs for me. So context,
this
listeners.
This is going to be a banger.
It is a banger.
Great.
I've saved it just for you, actually.
Yeah, well,
so
I'm so excited to
here's the origin, is that I have an Uncle Rick. He's a great listener of radio, great listener of That's the Ticket, has listened to every single episode. Every single
legend.
Episode. And
legend.
You are episode 249, Megan Goldsman.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Not quite important enough to be 250.
Whoa. Oof.
But, yeah,
okay.
Here we are.
I know my place.
When we started the show, Uncle Rick's like, here's a list of songs that I like. Each week you can pick a song from the list and play Rick's pick. And every week we have. And now I try and pick a song that's on theme with, like, the person I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And I don't have many of these songs, but I've got a song by a band called Fleetwood Mac.
Can imagine if I picked Fleetwood Mac today as well.
Well, I feel like you have in the past.
In a way, and Stereophonic, let's be fair.
Yeah. But here's the thing is, this is OG Fleetwood Mac.
Yum.
So it's Peter Green Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh, a little bit of blues.
And
love it.
Yeah, because, like, Megan actually introduced me, well, not introduced me, but you got me into Fleetwood Mac. It was when we were working on the show and I had a clipboard. And you remember, you wrote the lyrics to Dreams.
This is 10 years back then. Yeah. Really?
And so now we've come full circle. And so it's an OG Fleetwood Mac song called Need Your Love So Bad. It's a banger. Might be educational, but I feel like Uncle Rick puts it on here because he's like, Hannah, there's more to Fleetwood Mac than Stevie Nicks. And I'm like, no, there isn't. But
there's layers.
Yeah, there's layers. But yeah, I feel like it's fitting to play Fleetwood Mac while I've got you in the studio. And obviously it's on the list. So Uncle Rick, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy this one, mate. We love a bit of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, God, that was a good pick as well.
It was a good pick. And Uncle Rick, you'll be pleased that off-air Megan and I just then had a massive chat about Fleetwood Mac, especially the OG Fleetwood Mac, Peter Green era, and then that kind of snowballed into a bit of Stevie chat because essentially whenever we're together, Stevie Nicks gets mentioned at least. Twice.
We did see Stevie Nicks together as well.
Twice.
Live in the flesh.
Yeah.
And also The Pretenders.
Yeah.
which sometimes I forget about. They were the opening act.
They were actually really good.
That is wild. Yeah. Chrissy Hynde is amazing and also has one of the best Christmas songs of all time.
Which is?
What is it? 2,000 Miles? Is it?
What?
He's gone.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. It's amazing.
Yeah, we've actually seen quite a few good concerts together.
Honestly, I think back on, to be fair, my young 20s were kind of
You did really well.
Which I don't know how. I must have, all the money I made, I must have just put into concerts.
You were very good at it. And here's the thing that I love about Megan is that you went to a Cat Stevens concert by yourself.
And it's one of the best concerts I've seen.
And then we were at the infamous Elton John concert.
Oh, God.
Was it Western Springs?
It was in Mount Smart.
Mount Smart.
And, oh, God. Yeah. Well, we saw half of it or a third.
Yeah.
But my story goes further than that.
I know. Please share.
I shall. Seeing as it's fitting, it's almost another anniversary of that.
Yeah.
I was so devastated that we didn't get full Elton.
Yeah.
And then obviously he was sick and left, and then there was COVID. I was like, I'm gonna buy the ticket when he comes back.
Yeah.
So I bought a ticket. This is like 2 years before he came back to New Zealand. Maybe more. I can't even remember.
I remember you asked me and I'm like, no.
Yeah, I know. But I was committed. I was like, no, I have to see him. I have to go. Even though we'd seen a little bit, I was like, this is not enough. So I bought this ticket. I was waiting. And then, of course, it gets to the week of what is the Auckland floods.
Yeah.
And at the time, obviously people didn't know how serious the floods were going to be.
Yeah.
I remember leaving work early, it absolutely coming down, the rain just hammering so hard. But like I was like gung-ho, like, no, I am going. I am absolutely going to this concert. I remember putting on my Doc Martens because they're the only waterproof shoes I had.
Yeah.
I put on running gear because I was like, I'm going to get soaked. I'll just wear my running clothes.
Yeah.
I had a raincoat. And then where I lived was at the top of College Hill, which is you go through Victoria Park to get down to the buses. And I remember, swam down to the bus. Literally going through Victoria Park and the water was coming up to my knees. And mentally, I don't know what was going on, but I was like, oh, this is quite a lot of water.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the drains must just be blocked as I'm like wading my way to the bus. Get on the bus. We're on there. Obviously, it's a nightmare to get there. It took about an hour. We get there. It's been called off.
Yeah.
And at the time, we were really annoyed. We were like, oh, gosh, we've come all this way. It's such a nightmare. As we're attempting to leave, which again took 2 hours to get back to central Auckland, we see a car float past on the motorway.
You sent me a video of this.
It was mental. But it is one of those moments where you are suddenly, I guess, aware as a human of how dire a situation is. And it's like, oh, okay, this is actually really serious.
Yeah. And did he ever come back?
No, that was it.
That was it.
That was the end. And I'm very jealous because I had a friend who went and saw him in Scotland and that was like his last show and I've missed the boat, but hey.
I mean, we can't win them all. You can't win them all. I do recall, actually, because you are based in London now.
I am.
And so I'm very happy to have you
here
while you're visiting New Zealand. And did you see The Beths in the UK?
I did.
They're one of my favourite bands.
You're joking. They're amazing. Yeah. They were so good. Yeah. It was my first time seeing them live, which again is so crazy to think.
Did you die a little death? That's a reference to one of their songs. Sorry.
So good. Okay, sad story here, though. I had to leave early.
Oh, Megan.
I know. I had to get the train, and that's the tragedy of London. So, but they were amazing. I saw most of the concert. And the opening act before them, who I can't remember their name, but they were also brilliant. Key band. Ah, they're brilliant. They're so brilliant, actually. And going on New Zealanders in London, one of the best shows I saw in London this year was a theatre show called Heartbreak Hotel, which is by Karen McCracken and Eleanor Bishop.
Yes.
Incredible. I don't know if it's coming back to Hamilton. If it is, everyone should go and see it because it is just one of the best shows I've seen.
I mean, it's great to see you out there, like, you know, supporting local afar.
There's something really exciting when you're... I don't think it's just a me thing. I think we're all kind of like that when we're Kiwis overseas. But when you're in a big city like London, there's something so thrilling about like seeing another Kiwi there. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I recognize you. We are the same. And then being able to go to their show and find all the other Kiwis. And like some people I'd known, people I hadn't met, but we all had something to bond. I saw my friend Alice had a film called The Weed Eaters, which I also think your brother might have had a part
He's
in.
Prolific. Yeah.
Now that I think about it, he's everywhere. But that had a London premiere while I was there.
Oh, and
it
that's great.
So brilliant. And again, just that experience of being all kind of Kiwis in a room together and kind of like, yeah, we're taking on the big wide world.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. And it's like, you're back in the country at the moment. Yeah. And so I'm like, I need to get Megan on the podcast. You know, we need to talk. Need to connect.
This is the only time we ever talk.
Legit. And man, we're running out of time.
Oh my God. Snap along.
No. I mean, I might just be cheeky. And before I get into my upcoming events.
Yes.
Do you have any upcoming events?
No. I'm keeping it real low key. I'm here for a couple of months, making a short at the end of the month. So kind of in pre-production and all that for that one at the moment. And really just working. So back on the photography buzz. We're doing some headshots throughout the next couple of months.
Megan Goldsman Photography. Give her a follow on Insta. Yep. Is there still a Facebook page? Insta's the place.
If you need portraits or stills or whatever.
Yeah, you do live.
I do everything.
Yeah.
I do it all.
Yeah. Get amongst it.
Get in there.
Yeah, get in there. And, okay. And anything else you want to plug?
No, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm here. I'm going to be working.
It sounds like you're fitting in quite a bit in a short window of time.
I know. That's
classic Megan Goldsman.
It is actually. Hit the ground running. It's kind of the vibe. But, yeah, nothing like no live performance or anything coming up. Just
I mean, there is enough time, but
it's always time.
This is the closest we get to a live performance, and I'm happy to have it.
All we need right now.
But you can take a break, and I'll just talk about some upcoming events if you want. But here are some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kirikiriroa, Hamilton, in the not so distant future. So, Rivoli Theatre has Disney's Moana Junior running in the new year. So, running right now, 13th to 17th of Jan. More info and tickets at iTicket. Hamilton Musical Theatre also have auditions running for their upcoming production of Avenue Q. Those are on the 24th and 25th of Jan. Find out more at hamiltonmusicaltheatre.co.nz. Up the road at Clarence Street Theatre, they have Prima Facie in for a special one-show-only performance in on the 18th of Feb. More info on tickets at Ticketek. You've seen that one, surely.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
And then the stage is set for the Hamilton Arts Festival to return in February this year. The program is out now, and tickets are available at hamartsfestival.co.nz. Pretty sick lineup for that one
that'd
as well.
That would be amazing.
I was going to say, have you looked, but you're probably not going to be here.
I am. I had a little glance because it's at the end of February, so...
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be here for some.
Okay.
I think I miss Rocky Horror, which is a shame.
Oh, is that the movies at the Meteor? Oh,
is it at the Meteor this year?
Yeah. They're doing...
It's a long time since I've seen it, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you might have to try and watch it when you're back in the UK.
Just have to watch it on my laptop.
Watch it on the plane, bro.
Yes, please. I'll do the live cast version on the plane. Yeah, it'd be brilliant. Yeah. Everyone's down for that.
If you were going to be in Rocky Horror, who would you be?
See, I want to be Magenta.
I was going to say Magenta.
But I think I'd be Janet.
Yeah, I reckon you'd get cast as Janet, yeah.
Although, in saying that, Touch Me is one of the most iconic songs, I think. And I would kill to play that.
I'd probably be Brad, to be honest.
Big Brad energy. You wouldn't be like a little Columbia?
No. Have you met me?
Dr. Scott?
Oh, I'd be Dr. Scott, actually.
Dr. Scott energy.
Okay.
Meatloaf. I'll be Meatloaf.
You can be Meatloaf. But I've got one last question for you.
Yes.
So you've spent the last, like, almost 50 minutes here on TTT giving me the tea. And so my last question for you, and I know the answer, but I like to ask guests this, but how do you take your tea?
Oh, do you know the answer?
Has it changed?
I don't know. I want to know.
I made you a cup of tea.
You did?
Yeah. Before.
Do you want to know how I would make my cup of tea?
Yeah, go.
So I'm such a simple girl, but I'm also so particular.
Yeah.
With a cup of tea, my favourite, it's got to be Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Yorkshire black tea. Oh,
you know who else loves a Yorkshire black tea?
Yeah.
Christina Rayner, friend of the show.
Christina Rayner Nee Wilson.
Yeah.
Ah, Of course she does.
I used her actor name.
Her actor name, as you should know. Christina was, well, she, do you know what, she probably was the one who got me onto Yorkshire Tea, let's be fair. No, it's going to be Yorkshire. It's going to be dark, 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 dark. It's going to be like at least 5 minutes steeping. This is if I were making my perfect cup of tea. And then just a splash of milk.
Yeah.
Take the bag out, splash of milk. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah. No, I know. I knew that. I mean, when I made your cup of tea, I didn't have Yorkshire tea.
No, but any tea made by you, Hannah, is special.
So. Yeah, I do. I put a little kiss in it.
It's heartfelt.
Oh, well, I feel like we have got very heartfelt today.
It's been so...
It's just been nice.
That's such a vibe.
I know. I'll have to have you back, mate.
Yeah, within, what, 5 years' time?
Yeah. Let's try and get 15 it.
15-year anniversary.
Do you reckon I'll still be going in 5 years?
I hope you're still going in 5 years. You will still be going in 5 years.
Yeah, I care too much.
I'm calling it now.
I care too much for the chat. But when Megan's won her Oscar, she promised me off air and I'm bringing it on air that I'm going to be the first interview.
First interview. Yeah. First interview.
So you heard it here, guys.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm going to play us out with another track that you bought.
It's
kind of, I mean, obviously it's a 2025 track, but we're not that far into 2026. So no. It still counts, but it's a banger from this slash last year.
Well, the last couple of years, right? But this is what I would call my song of the UK summer.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Dive by Olivia Dean. And, well, it just got you through the summertime?
Yeah. Olivia Dean's an icon, and that was just a bop, and I listened to it probably 1,000 times.
Okay, so you're not sick of it yet?
No, I love it.
Okay. Well, thanks again, mate.
Mate.
For coming on for a chat.
Oh, it's such a joy. And, it's such a pleasure.
And
I won't do my cat voice at the end.
It's already kind of starting. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet I'll be back soon with some more chat. But until then, just like dive into some local arts team. It isn't working. I'm a tidal wave of question marks, and you're just surfing. I guess I'm not, it's so crazy lately. You just understand my feelings. Make me see I'm capable of fine. I'm feeling beautified tonight. I'm ready to die. Maybe it's the loving in your eyes. I'm here to save you.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.